Aladdin and His Magic Lamp. "Where is that lazy boy?" Aladdin's mother yelled as she looked up from her spinning. "There's not a scrap of food in the house, and here I am working all day long to keep a roof over our heads." Aladdin was in the bazaar on the other side of the town, drinking mint tea and chatting to his friends. Of all the boys in Baghdad, Aladdin was the naughtiest and the laziest. He never helped his widowed mother as he should, but spent his time getting up to mischief. "Hey, Aladdin," called a friend. "It's your turn to buy the tea. Hurry up." From his hiding place across the street, a dark stranger muttered to himself in triumph. "Aha! If that boy really is Aladdin, my long search is over." Standing in the shadows, he watched and waited. At last, the merry band broke up, and as Aladdin rushed past, the stranger stepped out in front of him. "Aladdin," he cried, with false tears of joy in his eyes, "I'm your uncle, Ebenezer, home in Baghdad after many years of travelling. How pleased I am to see you." Now, this man was not Aladdin's uncle at all. He was really an evil magician. Long ago, while casting spells, he had learned that hidden in a cave near Baghdad was a lamp which could unleash the magic power of the mightiest genie in all the world. Unfortunately for Ebenezer, only a very special boy could find the lamp. A boy called Aladdin. Aladdin was very excited when he took the magician home. He had never heard of an uncle, but the man was very convincing. Ebenezer certainly hoodwinked Aladdin's mother, and his gifts of gold and pearls made her ready to believe anything. Next morning, Aladdin went for a walk with his uncle. Soon they left the city and wandered into the desert beyond. "Look here, my boy," said Ebenezer gravely. "Your mother's getting old. It's time you learned a trade to support her." Aladdin's face fell. "What? Work all day? That was no fun." "I'll open a shop for you and stock it with the finest silks of the Orient," his uncle went on. Now, this idea did appeal to Aladdin. He could just imagine how rich he would become. "You're right, uncle," he said, smiling. "I must settle down." Ebenezer tried to hide his excitement. "If I'm going to help you, you must help me," he said. "Fetch some wood and light me a fire just here." And he marked a cross on the ground. When the fire was ready, the magician threw incense on the leaping flames. There was an enormous bang, and the whole earth trembled and opened at their feet. A huge stone, like a trapdoor, lay revealed. "Now, lift the stone," said Ebenezer. "Beneath it, you will find a treasure cave lit by a simple brass lamp. Touch nothing. Just bring me the lamp, do this for me, and I will give you everything I've promised." Aladdin took a deep breath and seized the stone. To his surprise, it moved easily, and he found himself looking into the dark entrance of the cave. With a last look at the magician, Aladdin disappeared through the opening and made his way straight to the lamp, as his uncle had told him. Not a sound could be heard in the eerie cavern. Not a breath of life flickered in the gloom. Aladdin took the lamp and hurried back to the entrance where Ebenezer was waiting.
"Give it to me," yelled the magician excitedly. "Quickly, boy, or take what's coming to you."
When Aladdin didn't answer, the magician threw more incense onto the fire. The ground heaved, and the stone rolled back, leaving Aladdin trapped in the cave. He looked at the lamp in despair. Then he took his sleeve to rub away the grime. There was a tremendous flash, and an enormous genie stood before him.
"I am the slave of the lamp and of all who hold it. What is your will, O master?"
"Oh, take me home, O genie, to my mother and my friends, please."
Your wish is my command,
boomed the genie, his voice echoing around the cavern. Before he knew where he was, Aladdin heard his mother's voice. Is that you, son? Where have you been? You're never in when I need you. And Aladdin knew he was safely home and threw himself into his mother's arms. The years passed, and Aladdin grew into a young man. He gave up his lazy ways and worked hard to look after his mother. One day, as he was running an errand, Aladdin caught sight of the Sultan of Baghdad's daughter, the Princess Yasmin. She was walking in the palace gardens, laughing with her maids. Aladdin was spellbound by her beauty and instantly set his heart on marrying her. But how can a man as poor as me ever be a princess's husband? He asked sadly when he told his mother of his love. Don't worry, son, she said. With that genie's help, you'll soon be rich enough for any sultan. With one brisk rub of the lamp, Aladdin's mother called up the genie, and he did everything she asked immediately. The next day, Aladdin presented himself to the sultan, looking like the finest young prince in the land. When he met Yasmin, he answered her questions with such wit and grace that she fell deeply in love with him. Soon they were married and lived for a year and a day in perfect happiness. Then, one morning, when Aladdin was out hunting, Yasmin heard a peddler's cry.
New lamps for old! New lamps for old!
She rushed to her windows, looked down, and saw a tall, dark man standing by the palace gates. It was the evil magician, Abenaza. Yasmin didn't know who he was, but immediately thought of the ugly old lamp in her husband's apartments. Take these to the peddler, she told her servant. I want to surprise Aladdin with a fine new lamp. The girl took the old lamp and made her way to the palace gates where Abenaza was waiting. He could hardly stop his hands trembling as he grabbed it and hurried to his house in triumph.
You are mine at last,
he gloated as he rubbed the lamp.
I am the slave of the lamp and of all who hold it. What is your will, O master?
Find Yasmin and bring her here. Then we will leave Baghdad forever.
When Aladdin returned home, he found the whole city weeping.
Princess Yasmin has gone and no one can find her.
Aladdin scoured the city for the peddler and his lamps, but he was nowhere to be found. Summoning his servants, Aladdin prepared for a long journey. He knew that Abenaza had duped his wife, and he vowed that he would search the world to find Yasmin. At last, in the midst of a lonely desert, he heard tell of a magician's lair. Aladdin had never seen such a dismal castle, and he almost wept to think of his wife as a prisoner there. Disguising himself as a holy man, he persuaded the servant to let him in. He asked to see Yasmin, and found her crying in a dark and gloomy room.
Oh, Aladdin, she said, embracing him and smiling through her tears. I began to think I would never see you again.
Aladdin took his beloved in his arms and comforted her. Then he hid and waited for the magician. He knew that he must kill this evil man to be rid of him forever. At last, Abenaza appeared. Aladdin stepped forward to block his path, sword in hand.
Prepare to defend yourself, the young man challenged. Your hour has come. With a shout of fury, Abenaza drew his sword and leapt at Aladdin. The clash of steel rang out as the two men fought desperately. Abenaza had the strength of a bull, but Aladdin was as quick as a cat. He saw his chance and plunged his sword deep into the magician's heart. The wicked man staggered and fell down dead.
Aladdin searched the castle and found the lamp. Rubbing it gently, he summoned the genie.
I am the slave of the lamp and of all who hold it. What is your will, O master?
Take us home, O genie, said Aladdin with a heartfelt cry.
Your wish is my command.
And the next moment, Aladdin and his beloved Yasmin were safely back in Baghdad, standing in their garden, the marble turrets of their palace rose pink in the setting sun. Aladdin's mother was waiting to welcome them. Oh, you look after that lamp, Aladdin, she said. You never know when it might come in handy. The next morning, Aladdin followed her advice and locked the lamp away forever, safe and sound. His beloved wife lived happily with him her whole life long and had no desire to surprise Aladdin with anything ever again.